Welcome to Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome to Monday Night Lights. I am Brad Allen. Not in the studio today. Today we're doing it live from Alcona's. We will be mixing right into our boys basketball pregame coverage tonight in just about an hour. So we have a good one on hand tonight. Coming up in 1 hour on WKJC, the Alcona Tigers taking on the Taos area Braves. We already had the JV contest, triple header action tonight, just about to get underway in just about 5 minutes are the girls varsity teams, as Alcona was supposed to take on Pinconning today in girls varsity basketball. They added in the boys against Taos today. So we have just wrapping up Alcona versus Taos JV boys. Now we're going to have Alcona versus Pinconning varsity girls, and then it'll be tonight's feature game, which we'll hear here on WKJC 104.7. We got lots of stuff to get to today. Of course, we'll talk about what happened yesterday between Michigan and Wisconsin with Juwan Howard and with Greg Gard, and everything that happened there between Michigan and Wisconsin, from the game to, of course, what happened afterwards. But we also have to start today with what was possibly the game of the year between Taos and Oscoda this past Friday night. Myself and Jeff Erickson had that one for you. It was a whole lot of fun back and forth. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to the game, here's an extended sound of what it sounded like this past Friday. Tip is won by Hedgeland, and here come the Taos area Braves. Left side, Gabe Kanishevsky, guarded by Michael Geffrey. Up top, Dukai. Dukai open for three. Knock it down. Great start for the Braves. Second free throw good as well. 8-0 run to start the game for the Braves. Dukai works around the screen and throws it right to Rona. And here come the Owls. They don't have numbers. Rona into the lane. Hand off Geffrey.
You want bumper music coming back to you?
And a turnover here by the Owls. Stolen.
Okay, got that.
Here come the Braves. Left side look in the corner for three. Knock it down. Braves by five to end the first quarter, 15-10. Geffrey, a pull-up three. Knock it down, and the Owls have the lead. Braves with the basketball. Kames open for three again. Fade away. Knock it down.
Really nice play from underneath the bucket right there.
Right side three for Dukai. Knock it down. His third three of the night. Up top, Dukai. Dukai dribbles into a three. Knock it down again. 11 points in the quarter. That'll end the first half. It's Braves 31 and Oscoda 20. Inbounding underneath. Left side, Geffrey wide open for the tie. Knock it down. 11-0 run to start the half. 7 seconds, and now here comes Geffrey. Now he's got to make a move. Gets the screen. Mid-range jumper for the tie. Got it. And that'll end the quarter. We're tied at 36. Geffrey gets a screen. Inside, nice. Miller. Great pass and a finish.
Nice pass.
Rebound poked around and won by Kanishevsky. Left side, Jake. Look for three. Knock it down. Cross-court blown up.
Wide open. No, halfway down.
Geffrey tipped it open in. What a tip by Geffrey. And we're tied at 43. Kanishevsky into the lane. Cross court, Dukai. It's man-to-man defense for the Owls, too. Open for three. Hedgeland knocks it down. We're tied.
Where'd that guy come from?
First points of the night for Ethan Hedgeland, and we're tied at 46.
Oh, Geffrey pushed off right there. Look at Dukai go after.
Dukai poked it away. Kanishevsky's got it. Into the lane. Bucket is good. Timeout. Oscoda. Braves by two. Geffrey picks it up. 8 seconds. This is just ISO with Geffrey. It's his game to tie or to take the lead. Turn around. Jumper no good. Miller.
Back to you in six.
Win. Braves win. 48-46. a wild game between the Owls and the Braves this past Friday night. And, yeah, a big game of runs. Started, as you heard, with that 8-0 run by the Taos area Braves to begin the game. Oscoda answered with a 10-0 run to take the lead 10-8. Braves got a huge second quarter out of Gavin Dukai, 11 points, including three threes. He had five first-half triples to be able to take the Braves into the halftime break up by 11. And it seemed like Taos had kind of taken control. They had kind of taken control of the gym. It seemed like that the Taos fans were being a little bit louder than the Oscoda fans as it came to the end of the half. And Oscoda came out, and it took them about 5 minutes to get there, but they did end up with a 13-0 run to start that first half and ended up taking the lead, as you heard there. But after that, game never got more than just 4 points on either side, and it all came down to just those last couple of minutes. And it's really easy to be critical of somebody well after the fact, well after what we saw happen. And I think the motivation, you know, for Oscoda was different from when they were trailing, from when they had the lead. They had, of course, you know, home court advantage, one called that. It was probably 60-40 Oscoda fans to Taos fans, but they had that home court advantage. Oscoda, when, you know, they get down by 8 points, they find their way back into it. And then I end up with the lead, and then they moved back to, I'm sorry, there's the possible national that's happening in front of us for the game here today. So you tell me what, I'll take a break right here. We come back. I'll continue my coverage on Taos and Oscoda right here on WKJC, your power station for sports.
Getting in financial shape has never been easy.
How many?
Rise Family Credit Union in Standish, Bay City, and Essexville by your side. The new year, new you loans give you the cash you need. Whether it be a signature loan, auto loan, home equity loan, or winter toy loan, Sunrise FCU has a loan for every resolution. Equal housing opportunity, offer subject to change. See a branch for details. Learn more at sunrisefamilycu.org. Feel like family at Sunrise Family Credit Union in Bay City, Essexville, and Standish. Kevin Hummerick House at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas wants you to step into a new ride with a new Chevy. Find your deal on select new 2022 Chevrolet Equinoxes with 0% APR for 48 months and $500 in Chevy rebates. Or a new 2022 Chevy Blazer with 0% APR for 48 months and up to $1,000 in Chevy rebates. For well-qualified buyers, restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Stop in and see Kevin Hummerick House at Dean Arbor Chevy on US 23 in East Dallas or call 492-1788. Chevrolet, find new roads.
We're Northeast Window. Now is a great time to complete those interior home renovations. True Value Easy Care Ceiling White, $19.99 per gallon. Replacing interior doors, we stock birch and six-panel pre-hungs, bifolds, and a complete line of interior trim. Remodeling a kitchen or bathroom, check out the latest in colors and styles at our Harrisville store. Looking for shiplap, 1x8 pine, 89 cents per lineal foot. Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena is your local source for your lumber, roofing, siding, hardware, and rental needs. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 9 to 3.
If you're looking for just...
And yes, there is.
...a special gift, visit Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas. Blue Bear Jewelry has the largest selection of silver jewelry in Northeast Michigan, and they carry Michigan State and University of Michigan jewelry, too. Plus, red and white and blue and white beads and jewelry so you can show off...
Yeah, it says Klaus Family.
Jewelry open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5 on the first block of Newman Street in downtown East Dallas. Treat yourself. You deserve it.
Who's your hometown team? Elkhona Health Center is cheering for local high school athletes as they compete this season. With locations throughout northern Michigan, they are here for your family's health no matter which mascot you're rooting for. Elkhona Health Center.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Behavioral health and dental needs. Find a location near you at elkhonahealthcenters.org. Elkhona Health.
Back to you in two.
Be your hometown healthcare team.
This is Monday Night Lights. Brad Allen here with you live from Elkhona as we get set for our boys basketball coverage beginning at the top of the hour for Elkhona versus Taos, having the starting lineups announced for the girls game tonight between Elkhona and Pinconning, which will come right before our feature game of the evening. When I took that break there for the national anthem here, I was talking about the Oscoda versus Tawas game, and I will get to that in just a second, but I have to let you know this. Monday Night Lights is brought to you by Blue Bear Jewelry in East Dallas. Klaus Family Ace Hardware's with 15 locations to serve you. Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena. Sunrise Family Credit Union in Standish, Bay City and Essexville. And Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet on US 23 in East Dallas. So you heard the highlights of the game. So you heard that back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know, but it seemed like Oscoda played two completely different styles of basketball. When they were trailing, when they got down 8-0, when they got down 11 at halftime, they came out, they played differently, and they played the rest of the way. They were aggressive. They got the ball around the 2-3 zone the Towers was playing. They swung it around, trying to find a shot to get back into it, not just riding on Michael Geoffrey. Now, Michael Geoffrey, very, very good player for the Oscoda Owls, but they were really moving it down. Brendan Apsidis and Trevor Miller, I think if you looked at how many touches those guys got when Oscoda was down versus how many they got when Oscoda was up or when the game was tied, drastically different. They really tried to have the ball in Geoffrey's hands to try and quote-unquote close out the Braves, and it started way too early also, in my opinion. In the third quarter, with about 3 minutes left, the Owls that got up by, I think, four or five and ended up trying to just take the air out of the basketball team. They were really trying to extend that Tawas zone. They were really trying to take their time with the basketball. They had the ball for over a minute on one possession, didn't get a shot up, and instead it was turned over. It got stolen when they finally did try to make something happen. They took all of their momentum away when they would get the basketball. It seemed like that they were playing two completely different games. This team is good when they're aggressive, when they're spreading the ball around. Yes, Michael Geoffrey is going to score, you know, maybe even half their points in the games that they play. He's very gifted offensively, and they like to run their offense through him. And I have no problem with them just at the end of the game, you heard, with 9 seconds left, they just went ISO for him. I have absolutely no issue with that. That's what I would have done, too. You know, let him clear out, let him get some space to shoot the basketball. But it would have been, I think, really nice to kind of mix in somebody else. I'm not sure, but bringing up the ball, starting the offense when they didn't have the lead, when Geoffrey could work off ball, he could work off a screen, he could work off of something else. I thought that the Owls got conservative when they got the ball, when they got the lead. I mean, they got very conservative when they had the lead, and I think that that led to letting the Braves back into it, letting the Braves crowd back into it, and ended up possibly even leading to what ended up being a loss, that they just got conservative. Because you look at what ended up being the game-winning bucket was just Gavin Dukai making a great, great play, poking the ball away from Michael Geoffrey and Gabe Kanishevsky being able to run it down and lay it in. So the Owls, when they just weren't spreading the ball around, when they weren't swinging it around the perimeter, when instead they were going with Michael Geoffrey in an ISO situation, they would get conservative trying to take the air out of the basketball. And so I feel like that there's better ways to do this. And again, easy to criticize the way that things were going. But, I mean, these are two teams that I hope meet again in the district final. I hope again. That'll be, 2-3 weeks from now on that Friday? Because they're going to be the top two seeds in Division III, District 70. And it's going to be a matchup that I would like to see again. Even though Tawas has won the first two, I'd like to see the third one again between these two teams, because I do think they're evenly matched. When Oscoda is playing pure Oscoda basketball, which is a lot of physical toughness, which is a lot of having a, you know, plenty of players touch the basketball, even whether or not you're having one player score most of the time, which is what they did. Because you look at, obviously they had a lot of talent last year with Drew Hess and Brennan Mills. But one thing they were able to do, though, was make sure that that ball got spread around. One thing that, you know, sometimes Michael Geoffrey would be the leading scorer last year. So they had a lot of talent last year. I still think this year they have some talent. I think there was things that they could have done a little bit better. And on the Tawas side of things in this game, it was really, really a strong performance by Gavin Dukai. Of course, he had 19 points, 17 of those in the first half. And then he played really good defense down the stretch. But they kind of struggled with some fouls a little bit, that they probably could have put that game away a little bit better if they could have just kept the flow. But, you know, the foul situation was definitely leaning away from the Braves. Those officials were letting just about everything go. I think Oscoda had like five or six fouls in the entire game. I think they only had two in the first half, and then they had maybe five in the second half. So it was definitely the officials letting stuff go, but Tawas still was picking up fouls. They kind of struggled to keep the flow. And I'm going to talk to, when we start our pregame coverage a little bit later, I will be talking with the head coach, Tawas Erie Braves, Todd Kames, and he can hopefully give us some insight on what's going on with what he thought of that game and what he thought how his team finished the rest of the way. But, man, you cannot argue with the fight of the Braves. And the biggest shot there of the game, I think, was, as you heard in the highlight package, with Ethan Hedgeland at the end of the game. Hadn't scored. I'm not sure he had shot in the game. And then he gets a wide-open three with about, you know, 30 seconds left and nothing but death. And that shows you the confidence that these players have in each other, that the players, that the coaches had in him, that he has in himself, to be able to knock down that shot, because that's a big shot to hit at a big spot in a rivalry game, to be able to knock that down, your first shot of the night, especially his first three of the night, and be able to tie that game before Gavin Dukai made a great defensive play to end up giving Gabe Kanishevsky the game-winning bucket. So I look forward to these guys playing again. I look forward to a district final possibly with these two teams. And when you look at the scoring of that game, I mean, it's so evenly matched. It's 48-46 game, but it's amazing how eerily evenly matched it was. You know, both teams had a leading score of 19 points with Dukai and then Michael Geoffrey. And then nobody else had a player in double figures. Their second leading scorer each had 9. Gabe Kanishevsky had 9 and Trevor Miller also had 9. And then you just got little chip-in buckets elsewhere by other players. So I also, you know, it's amazing. It's a 48-46 game. I spend most of my time on things that I think the Owls could have done better. And another one of those things is they did not drive the ball into the zone. I really like, you know, what I've seen from Michael Rona this year. I really liked what I've seen with them being able to drive. And, you know, he didn't get the drive opportunities. A lot of guys didn't get the drive opportunities that I thought that they would have gotten in that game. Is a lot of jump shots or dump inside to the bigs for Oscoda. And I know it's tough to drive on his own, but I would have liked to see them, you know, maybe try to drive and kick to get to a shooter if they wanted to get to it. I really like the defense the Braves played. It's amazing the way I'm talking. It seems like this game should have been more 48-46, but more than 48-46. But this is what happens when you're the Braves and you live and die by the three. They missed a lot of threes. Alex Kames didn't have a great night. Guy who usually shoots the lights out, only knocked down 1 3. Granted, Behringer didn't knock down any. Jake Look only knocked down 2. You know, Gabe Kanishevsky didn't knock down any. So there's a lot of threes that didn't fall. The Braves had better scoring opportunities. The Owls just took better shots and were able to get, were able to make more shots of their scoring opportunities. So it is going to be a great matchup between these two teams, hopefully, when they play again in the district final. But one of those teams that we have tonight is going to have something to say about that, and that is the Alcona Tigers. They're going to try and play spoiler in that district. And coming up next, what we're going to talk about is one district, the one district bracket that we know we have. That's on the girls' side of things. We're going to talk about girls' district basketball right here, 104.7 WKJC. You're listening to Monday Night Lights, leading us into high school basketball coverage on WKJC, your power station for sports.
Backwoods Home Maintenance by Joe is proud to help sponsor this Alcona Tigers sports broadcast. Whatever you need done, Joe is who you need to call. Roofing, snow plowing, siding, power washing, repairs of any type. Backwoods Home Maintenance by Joe, a licensed builder. Located in Harrisville, call 464-2337. 464-2337. Licensed and insured. Go get them, Alcona Tigers. Proud to help sponsor this sports broadcast. Bob Bush Manufacturing Company of Augray and Taos is a proud sponsor of this broadcast. Established in 1948, Bob Bush provides tool and die building, progressive and line die stamping, producing steel and aluminum parts, resistance robotic MIG and TIG welding, e-coat paint line, general assembly, and product engineering. Bob Bush is a TS-16949 quality certified company with four facilities throughout the Augray and Taos area. That's Bob Bush Manufacturing Company. Time tested, production proven.
Kevin Hummerick House at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Dallas wants you to step into a new ride with a new Chevy. Find your deal on select new 2022 Chevrolet Equinoxes with 0% APR for 48 months and $500 in Chevy rebates. Or a new 2022 Chevy Blazer with 0% APR for 48 months and up to $1,000 in Chevy rebates. For well-qualified buyers, restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Stop in and see Kevin Hummerick House at Dean Arbor Chevy on US 23 in East Dallas or call 492-1788. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Getting in financial shape has never been easier with Sunrise Family Credit Union in Standish, Bay City, and Essexville by your side. The new year, new you loans give you the cash you need. Whether it be a signature loan, auto loan, home equity loan, or winter toy loan, Sunrise FCU has a loan for every resolution. Equal housing opportunity offer subject to change. See a branch for details. Learn more at sunrisefamilycu.org. Feel like family at Sunrise Family Credit Union in Bay City, Essexville, and Standish.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Ace is the only national retailer that carries Benjamin Moore paint. Now Benjamin Moore's quality and huge selection of colors will be right in your neighborhood, along with award-winning service and advice Ace has always provided for your paint projects. Around the block, what you need in stock, with people who know their paint. Klaus Family Ace Hardwares, proudly serving you since 1914 with 14 convenient locations.
At your local Alpena Community College Oscoda campus, our priorities are helping students of all ages prepare for a new career or job, equipping companies as they improve their workforce, and offering special career exploration courses.
Okay, back to after this ad.
And check out our 70...
I was kind of trying to make it so I had an even amount of ads here.
...year certificate or 2 years...
Was trying to make it so I had an even amount of ads. Back to you in 3.
And training options available right in your own backyard.
Brad Allen here with you. Monday Night Lights leading into high school basketball coverage. 104.7 WKJC live from Alcona. Currently, it is the Alcona Tigers and the Pinconning Spartans doing battle in varsity girls basketball. And after one quarter of play, we got ourselves a low, low, low scoring matchup. Pinconning banked in a three, just a heave of a three at the last second of the buzzer to take the lead 5-4 at the end of our first quarter. So while we're on the topic of one, the Alcona Tigers girls basketball team and girls basketball in general, the district draws for girls basketball has been announced. And the one I want to pay attention to is this one that the Alcona Tigers are in. That is Division III District 70. That'll be right here in Alcona, and that starts next week. And that is Alcona, Oscoda, St. Helen, Charlton, Heston, Taos, and Whittemore Prescott. That will be taking part in that district. Oscoda is the number one seed. Alcona is the number two seed in this district. And so we will get a look at these two teams next week. They are, you know, obviously wouldn't meet until it'd be the district final on Monday. Right here in Alcona, Taos will take on St. Helen, Charlton, Heston. You have a a pretty good Taos team, albeit young Taos team. Remember covering them last year, it was mostly freshmen, taking on a St. Helen team that has struggled so far this season. The winner of that game will take on the Elkhona Tigers right here. And then Oscoda will take on Whittemore Prescott. Oscoda at 13-5 on the year. Whittemore Prescott at a 5-9 record so far on the year. And we'll be bringing you at least that Oscoda Whittemore Prescott game right here on 104.7 WKJC next week as we get girls' districts underway. So last year, Elkhona was able to get a taste of that district championship. And so a team that in a district that's been dominated by Oscoda of recent last year, Oscoda wasn't able to compete in the district due to COVID-19 problems. So Elkhona was able to win the district, went on to play in a regional game, and competed quite well against St. Ignace in that first district game. So I think this is an Elkhona team that's kind of battle-tested, a team that has a chance, but Oscoda is, again, the number one seed. Oscoda is, again, going to be the team to beat. They put a pretty lopsided win on Elkhona just last week. Last Monday, I were able to put a good win over the Tigers, and it's all going to come down to things like I talk about a lot with the Taos area Braves. It's going to come down to whether or not they make threes or not. It's going to come down whether or not they knock down shots from the outside. If Sabrino Salvador knocks down shots, if they get Griggs knocking down shots, if they get Whipke knocking down shots, that's Oscoda is very, very, very tough to beat. I think Elkhona probably will have the down low advantage. And just in this early part of this game, here that I'm watching right here in front of me, Elkhona has the early down low advantage. So, they will be a little bit taller. They will have a little bit stronger post presence more than likely. As Oscoda still, is coming away from, you know, a couple of years ago when Lauren Langley was their star player, and she was, of course, playing inside. Now they launch more threes than almost anybody in the state, it seems. So it's going to be an interesting district. Elkhona beat Oscoda a little bit earlier in the year, and so you can expect that these two teams, which have become really good rivals here in girls basketball, will offer a very, very good possible district final. And again, that's all coming next week with the Division III District 70 round next week. A little bit more scoring is broken up, by the way, in this game in front of me. 12-9 now. Elkhona over top of Pinconning. And we come back. We'll take a break. We'll lead you starting to come into our pregame coverage of high school basketball tonight between the Elkhona Tigers and the Taos area Braves. And we'll talk a little about what happened yesterday in that Michigan basketball game, and we'll spend more time on what happened after the Michigan basketball game against Wisconsin. Right after this on Monday Night Lights on 104.7 WKJC, your power station for sports.
The Bay Party Store and Liar's Den Bait and Tackle on US 23 in East Taos are proud supporters of high school athletics and are happy to sponsor this game.
All right, 2 minutes or 4 minutes?
A wide variety of snacks, hot coffee, and the luckiest live bait available.
Well, it's how many ads I had because when you cut me back early from that first break, I was trying to make it an even amount.
Under the A-frame, located on US 23 in East Taos. Colvin's of Northeast Michigan says a strong...
Oh, so I can play a couple from the game as well?
...an option, it's a must. Think of it like preventative maintenance for your car. If you don't change the oil and filters and replace the belts, the vehicle's longevity is compromised. The same's true for your heating, cooling...
Okay, sweet.
By keeping them maintained, you'll not only save money on energy, but extend the life...
Thank you for clarifying that, Chief.
...regular maintenance from Colvin's Heating and Cooling of Northeast Michigan is the best way to ensure safety and peak performance. Call them at 728-5955.
If you're looking for just the right piece of silver jewelry for yourself or a special gift, visit Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Taos. Blue Bear.
You're the man.
Selection of silver jewelry in Northeast Michigan. And they carry Michigan State and University of Michigan jewelry, too. Plus, red and white and blue and white beads and jewelry so you can show off your local sports pride. Blue Bear Jewelry, open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5 on the first block of Newman Street in downtown East Taos. Treat yourself. You deserve it.
We're Northeast Bank Window and Door.
Now is a great time to complete those interior home renovations. True Value Easy Care Ceiling White, $19.99 per gallon. Replacing interior doors, we stock birch and six-panel pre-hungs, bifolds, and a complete line of interior trim. Remodeling a kitchen or bathroom? Check out the latest in colors and styles at our Harrisville store. Looking for shiplap? 1x8 pine, 89 cents per lineal foot. Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena is your local source for your lumber, roofing, siding, hardware, and rental needs. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 9 to 3.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Odds are there's an Ace right in your neighborhood with expert advice and the right tools to make your quick fixes even quicker. Around the block, what you need in stock with people who know their stuff. Welcome to the Home Convenience Store. Stop in to your local Klaus Family Ace Hardwares, proudly serving you since 1914 with 14 convenient locations. Ace is the place with helpful hardware, folks.
Hi, this is Mike Hoadley, and I would like to take this time to wish the area teams the best of luck in tonight's game. I'm proud to have served our country, state, and communities, and will continue to serve you in Lansing as the state representative for our 99th district. And remember, it's my name on the ballot.
Back to you in six.
About Mike, visit votemhoadley.com. This message is paid for by the committee to elect Mike Hoadley.
This is Monday Night Lights. Brad Allen here with you as we move along in our... Sorry, Todd Kamen's walking by. Chat with me real quick. As we move along here, as we get set for high school basketball coverage, we're kind of melding Monday Night Lights and our high school basketball coverage today as we get set for the Alcona Tigers taking on the Tawas area Braves. We will be joined by both coaches throughout the show today. Jeff Erickson will join me at the top of the hour as we continue to move along in our high school basketball season. But we got to talk about what happened yesterday between Michigan and Wisconsin. By the way, this show brought to you by Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena, Blue Bear Jewelry in East Thomas, Sunrise Family Credit Union in Standish, Bay City in Essexville, Kevin Hummer Accounts at Dean Arbor Chevrolet in East Thomas, and by Klaus Family Ace Hardwares. So Wisconsin beats Michigan 77-63. That in itself, not a big deal. Wisconsin's a better team than Michigan, right? Michigan, a bubble team. They're kind of fighting for their lives. They have some good wins, including obviously a dominant victory over Purdue. That will help them the rest of the way. They're going to need to win a Big Ten tournament game or two, to be able, to make the NCAA tournament, I believe. So let's talk about, what happened in the game first, and then we'll talk what happened after the game. So in the game, Wisconsin just was kind of playing Wisconsin basketball, you know, making things kind of muddy, making things kind of difficult, making things, you know, slowing the game down, everything like that. And then in the second half, the best player on the floor, Johnny Davis, got going and was able to put Michigan away, which that, not a big deal, right? It's perfectly fine when you have a better team win a game. That's right. We all want the best team to win the game most of the time. We all want everything like that to be able to work out. But it's what happened after the game that clearly is the story here. And that stinks because during the game, it was not too bad either. During the game, had lots of great stuff. It happened during the game that ended up causing an issue. And I'll talk more about this in just a second, but actually right now, how about we get joined by the head coach of the Alcona Tigers. That is Coach Alex Cole. Coach, how are you?
I'm well. How are you doing tonight?
You know, I'm not doing too bad. You have a big game here tonight because you're trying to really find out where your team is at right now, heading towards, you know, the district starting in just a couple of weeks. As the conference season kind of starts to wear down, where's kind of your head at for the way that, you know, the rest of the season needs to go for your team?
I think this is definitely a measuring stick game. I think they're kind of the standard and probably the favorite in our district.
Yeah.
So I would definitely like to compete with them tonight and kind of see where we're at and see what our chances are coming up in the postseason.
Yeah, it's something that with as I look at this district, yeah, Tawas probably is the favorite, but man, I mean, St. Helens could win the district. I think you guys could win the district. Oscoda could win the district. So, you know, you've played Oscoda twice this year. You haven't beaten, you played Taos way early on in the season. Weren't able to pick up that victory. So, but you know, and, you know, I've mentioned it a couple of times that your team is good enough where on any given night, they're going to be able to come out and they could beat either one, any one of these teams.
Absolutely. And that's the message I keep preaching to the team.
Yeah.
I don't think we've played a good four quarters of basketball yet. There's always been that one quarter, a couple letdowns here and there.
Yeah.
If we can just piece it together, I do believe we can play with anyone.
I agree with that, too, from what I've seen. I mean, I go back, you know, the last time you and I really talked was before the Ogama Heights game, which the scoreboard didn't go well. But one thing Jeff and I kept saying when we were watching that game is, you know, Alcona's not playing bad here. Like, Alcona's playing well. It's just that you guys couldn't really stop, well, Hudson Hodgins, for one. I mean, you guys couldn't really stop them at all. So, you know, talk a bit about, you know, being able to, yeah, to tell your team that, you know, you guys are a good team. You're playing well. Just, you know, sometimes things go the wrong way.
Yeah, just definitely keep encouraging them to be positive. That game in Ogama, they could not miss. I think everything they threw up, they could have had their eyes closed and it was going in.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Taos kind of poses the similar issues. Dukai is a pretty good point guard, and they got a lot of shooters around him. So game plan is going to be very similar. Hopefully it goes a little more positive at home here tonight.
Exactly. And that, yeah, you get to play at home. It's a bit of a strange situation because this is a reschedule. This game was supposed to be coming up on Friday, which, you know, now you still get to keep your Friday home game, which is nice, but now you switch it to Mayo. You know, so, you know, does the team handle it? You know, anything is your, you know, all this stuff when it comes to these switches, they just show up and play basketball. They're just good to go.
I think for the most part, they show up and play basketball. It definitely changed a little bit of our prep for this week. Obviously, had just a practice over the weekend to kind of get ready. I would prefer Friday night home games, but for a Monday night, I would say there's quite a few people here with the girls playing right now. So hopefully we have a good crowd.
Yeah, I hope so too. And so as the districts get closer, and obviously you want to play well the rest of the regular season, but as the districts get closer, what's kind of the number one thing you think your team needs to focus on to be able to possibly win a district title?
I think cleaning up some things on defense. I think that our six-game win streak, we showed we can score a little bit and put the ball in the hoop. That was my concern at the start of the season. Now we got all of our pieces back. But just clean up some things on defense and being able to stop some of these top guys that we're going to play.
Talk a little bit about, because you have, you know, a really good, you know, a veteran player like DJ Howe. But you got some young players who've really stepped up for, you know, David Charbonneau, pretty young player, and also off the bench, Garrett Summers, just a freshman, really young player, but they've given you some really quality minutes.
Yeah, the game is definitely slowing down for them now. As they get a little more experience throughout the season, they're not shooting the bad shots and not forcing things as much. They're getting up to speed. Garrett Summers has really been stepping up and scoring well and rebounding really well for a guard.
Yeah.
And realistically, he played one or two games last year in eighth grade with COVID, so he's a seventh grader coming all the way to varsity.
Right.
So I've been really proud of his development.
Yeah, it's been a really strong performance, everything I've seen out of him. All right, so lastly, you know, what's kind of your biggest key tonight against the Braves?
Biggest focus is going to be defense.
Yeah.
Can we stop their three-point shooting, get out and run our offensive game, and see if we can keep up with them that way.
Perfect. Well, Coach, I really appreciate you taking some time, and I will see you on Friday.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, cool. Coach Alex Cole of the Alcona Tigers giving us a little bit of time here as he gets set for his matchup against the Taos area Braves. And so we'll take a quick break. We come back, we continue what we were talking about, and we'll break this down a little bit farther too on WKJC, your power station for sports.
Check out our certified pre-owned vehicle selection at Dean Arbor Ford of Taos. Now, Ford Blue Advantage has two levels of certification to meet your vehicle needs, including non-Ford makes, such as Jeep, Chevrolet, Dodge, and more. We have a great variety for every need or budget, all backed by Ford warranty coverage. Shop our certified pre-owned vehicles at DeanArborTaos.com or stop in and see the Dean of Great Deals on M55 in Taos City.
Eden Fields Assisted Living and Memory Care of Standish is a proud sponsor of tonight's broadcast. Locally owned and operated, their facility features assisted living and memory care units for your loved ones. Stop in for your tour today. Eden Fields is located a quarter mile south of M61, approximately 2 miles from I-75. Eden Fields Assisted Living and Memory Care of Standish. Call 718-3117. Family, taking care of family.
No matter what stage of life you're in, the health of your muscles, bones, and joints impacts your ability to enjoy life to the fullest. So where do you go when you're experiencing pain?
Yeah, right? They just see you and they want to talk to you.
Two orthopedic surgery team ready to serve you at My Michigan Health. Your go-to team offers minimally invasive treatment options.
It's just you're popular, man.
Well, adult and pediatric orthopedic.
No, they don't
ankle surgery, hand surgery, as well as surgical and non-surgical sports medicine. Learn more at mymichigan.org/MSK.
At your local Alpena Community College Oscoda campus, our priorities are helping students of all ages prepare for a new career or job.
No, they just like you because you're the man, just like Goldberg is the man.
Preparation course opportunities. Stop by and check out our 75 education.
Just saying, I'm putting you in the same category.
Certificate or 2 years.
I would even say you're an icon.
AlpenaCC.edu and discover the special learning and training options available right in your own backyard.
Gary Oil is your...
No, I'm just trying to make you sound like a professional here.
Fuels and lubricants. Gary Oil has fuel for farm, home, industry motor oil, grease, industrial oils, and propane. And serving the...
You know, keep the high school games going. Keep them flowing.
Include 24-hour...
You may pick up some baseball, maybe some soccer.
Fuel delivery and more. Check them out at GaryOil.com. Call 1-800-STAY-FUL. Family-owned Gary Oil Company on US 23 in Oscoda and M65 in Hale.
Folding a fitted sheet. Programming the thermostat. Matching your socks. Why are simple things sometimes so...
When do you want me to play the high school opening?
Insurance independent agent.
Okay, just thought I'd ask.
Home doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like finding that missing sock.
All right, back to you in 7.
Owners Agency, the Tawas Bay Agency in East Tawas, or call 362-3409.
Time of the varsity girls game. This is Monday Night Lights on WKJC, leading right into high school basketball coverage tonight between the Alcona Tigers and the Tawas area Braves. The girls game right now, Alcona with a 6-point lead, 21-15, over top of the Pinconning Spartans in girls basketball. Again, we are at halftime, and thanks again to Coach Cole for stopping by for a second. Coach Todd Kames will join me here relatively shortly, but in that meantime, I'm going to try and get in my topic here about, and we're just going to jump right to after the game, forget talking about what happened during the game with Michigan, Wisconsin. You guys aren't that interested in that. You're interested in what happened after the game when there was the altercation between really Juwan Howard and Greg Gard that led into just a full-on problem. You know, I'm not sure I'd call it a brawl. I'm not sure I'd call it a fight. You know, a lot of pushing and shoving and grabbing, but it started because Michigan was running a full court press down by, you know, 20 points, you know, it seemed like, but down 15 points towards the end of the game. And Wisconsin, with their backups in, had trouble with the press, so they called the timeout. And somehow Juwan Howard took offense to that. Now, I'm a Michigan fan, by the way, so I'm not a Michigan, you know, you don't be like, oh, he must be a Michigan State fan or something like that, fan ripping Juwan Howard for the next however long I get to rip Juwan Howard, but I'm going to. Why would you take offense? You're running a full court press for 15 minutes. Why are you taking offense to them calling the timeout? So that you don't get to earn your turnover that you were going to get? Someone's shoe came off. I mean, there are all sorts of problems with Wisconsin that they needed a timeout if they were going to keep playing basketball. Juwan Howard decided at that time, because he was still running the press, Juwan Howard decided that they were still playing basketball. They were no longer just running out the clock. So that's the first thing. Now, could they have just let things go? And could they have just let the timeout happen? Could they have just, you know, Wisconsin just let the turnover happen? Sure. But you have players on the floor who only play a few minutes a game. Do you really want that to be the experience that they get? I wouldn't want that either. All right, so that led into the handshake line at the end of the game. Juwan Howard was not going to shake Wisconsin coach Greg Gard's hand. He was just going to end up walking right by him, not going to talk to him, just going to move on. He wasn't going to start an altercation, right? But what ends up happening is Greg Gard, the Wisconsin coach, grabs Juwan Howard, which is a problem, by the way. He should not have done that. And he is not absolved of any responsibility in this situation. But he grabs Juwan Howard to tell him, like, hey, you know, don't be an adult here. Let's shake hands and let's not, you know, cause a bunch of problems just because you're mad that you lost and you're mad that I took a timeout. And Juwan Howard takes major offense to Greg Gard grabbing him and starts a screaming match, which brings the assistants over, which brings to a lot of issues. And then, ultimately, Juwan Howard, he didn't punch, he didn't slap, somewhere in between, he strikes an assistant coach with an overhand kind of hit. And that, of course, leads to the major problem. Now, it is being reported on Twitter now that Michigan coach Juwan Howard will be suspended for the rest of the season. And that is just the regular season at that. It's just the five games. I don't know how I feel about that. There are some people saying, well, you're suspended for these five games. Michigan probably won't win, you know, that many of them, no matter who they're playing, because they won't have their coach. And then, you know, they're on the bubble anyway. And with the Big Ten tournament, possibly, they probably won't even get into the NCAA tournament. So it's not a big deal. He's going to be gone at the end of just five games. My problem with this is five games is a little weak because given Juwan Howard's history, this is a possible fireable offense. You can't swing at people. You can't, no matter how angry you are, no matter what's, you cannot swing at people. I don't care if you didn't actually land a punch. I don't care if you didn't, you know, or what the situation was. You're the head coach. You can't swing. If there's a player, all right, like, all right, a 20-something-year-old, you know, person, you know, I'm in my 20s, that, you know, sometimes I get a little heated, you know, and sometimes you're going to lead to a problem. Sometimes they're going to, you know, do something they shouldn't do. Maybe they will throw a punch or throw a shove, and they shouldn't do that. But when you're a grown man, Juwan Howard, who played at Michigan, who played in the NBA, and you're throwing a punch, and this is not, you're not throw a punch, you're going to swing at somebody. That, to me, is possibly a fireable offense. And I would not have been too angry if they did decide that they were going to fire Juwan Howard. Because not only did he do this, but do you remember last year in the Big Ten tournament when he caused a problem against Maryland? He has a history of these. He's a sore loser. He has a history of this type of behavior against other coaches where he gets mad and he shows the most. Now, his emotional side is what makes him part of what makes him such a good coach. He's so good with the players because he shows his emotions. He's not just going to stand there with his arms crossed. He's going to tell you when he did a good job. He's going to be right there with you. The players feel like they're going to battle with Juwan Howard, which is fine. But what example are you setting when you're saying it's okay that just because you don't like something, you're going to do a fight and swing at somebody? The handshake line at the end of the game is purely ceremonial. It is just to show some respect between two teams that there was a winner and that there was a loser and that both teams essentially just accept what happened. And it's just a formality. Just go through the line. It doesn't mean it. You don't have to sit there and talk with the coach for 15 minutes. You don't have to sit there and talk with the other players for 20 minutes. Just shake their hand and give them a little high five or something along the way and move on. Nothing had to be said about this. You could be mad about whatever you want, but Juwan Howard decided to cause a problem with it because he wouldn't shake someone's hand after he lost because he was mad at the way he lost. It's ridiculous. It's childish. And so Juwan Howard is going to get a five-game, essentially, suspension. He's going to be suspended the rest of the regular season. I think he should have been suspended for at least the Big Ten tournament, too. And if he somehow would have been suspended for that amount of time, all the way through the Big Ten tournament, and Michigan somehow makes the NCAA tournament, then we're good. Then, you know what? Good for the team to be able to make it that far. But I think Juwan Howard did something that's egregious. Juwan Howard did something that is something that he definitely should not have done. Now we're going to be joined by the head coach of the Taos area Braves, Coach Todd Kames. And Coach, I'm sure it was a nice, bright, happy weekend for you after a really nice win on Friday night.
Well, it could have went the other way, so winning was definitely better than losing, so you're right.
Yeah, it was a game of runs. I mean, you start on an 8-0 run. They answer back with a 10-0 run. You're able to get really hot towards the end of the second quarter, take a halftime lead of 11. They answer with a 13-0 run to start the third. So just talk about, you know, how hard it was to try and be a coach with that mindset of, you know, your team is so far up and then they're so far down.
Yeah, we just have to be more consistent offensively. And I don't know what the answer to it is, but we can't go 6-minute stretches without scoring and expect to, you know, be our best.
How close do you think this team is to really being at its best?
I don't know. You know, we talked about that last Friday night. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, you watch us playing the games in the last few games, that not very close, right? I mean, I think that we're a lot better than we've shown, but we just can't seem to maintain consistency through a game. And, you know, tonight's a new night. Hopefully tonight we'll take a step in the right direction.
Your team showed a lot of fight, I thought. I mean, it was amazing. And I thought you made a really good switch at the end of the game, moving Dukai right on Geoffrey at, you know, right towards the end of the game. So your team showed, I mean, some real big toughness at that point that, I mean, it seemed like Oscoda was trying to, you know, milk the air out of the basketball. You guys didn't let that happen. You're able to get a couple of big turnovers. So talk about, you know, the kind of defensive fight that you saw from your team.
I thought it was good. You know, I thought the guys really showed resolve late in the game. I mean, at the end of the third quarter, I thought our guys looked like this is not what we anticipated it to be. And we talked and we said, listen, I don't know what you guys expected to be, but we're sitting here at 38-38, and it's a game, and we've got to play better than them for the last 8 minutes. And, you know, really it just came down to making a few big plays at the end, and we got some guys to do it.
Yeah, you made some really, really big plays, some memorable plays at the end of that game. I mean, Ethan Hedgeland hadn't shot the ball, it seemed, all night. Knocks down a three with 30 seconds left to tie the game. I mean, to me, that just shows that, and I mentioned it earlier on, that you must have confidence in them, and they must feel that, and they must have confidence in each other to be able to take big shots like that. For Dukai to make big plays like he did at the end of the game, poking the ball away twice, one of them out of bounds. But, I mean, it was a bit of a hostile environment. Of course, the crowd was all in it, but your team able to hang tough with it.
Anyway, you know, one thing, and you touched on it, I thought one thing that was really good for us was that our guys seemed to be relaxed late in the game.
Yeah.
You know, the last 4 minutes, and even though we were down three and it didn't look real good, it didn't look like we were ever in a panic situation, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a good sign.
Let's talk about going forward a little bit. With that win, you're probably going to be the number one seed in the tournament. Now, number one seed versus number two seed really doesn't matter when it comes to things. But, you know, so obviously that is something. You guys don't have a division to play for, a conference to play for. So to be able to claim a number one seed, to be able to claim to be the top team in the district, that's got to be at least something that's, you know, like that's step one. And I'm sure what is a many-step process of where you want this team to be.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I mean, being the number one or number two doesn't really matter. You're on opposite sides of the bracket.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we're going to be familiar with everybody that's in the district, and that's nice.
Yeah.
Tonight, we're going to see the 2-2-1 again like we saw against Oscoda on Friday night. So, you know, we've struggled with that. I mean, I don't think it's a secret to anybody. We've had issues against that press, and I don't think we should. It's just we seem to be having problems with it. And not that we haven't addressed that at practice and worked on it.
Yeah.
We just have to execute better.
You can tell that the players know what they're going to do, because one thing I was mentioning to Jeff throughout the game was getting across half court, well, it hasn't been the problem. Getting the ball swung to where it needs to be hasn't been the problem. It's what to do once they get there. It seemed like it was tough to go from your press break into your offense.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we just need to be more deliberate with staying in attack mode once we get it over half court. And maybe that's an issue where we need personnel in a little different position to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it's something we've been working on, and we've had guys in practice, and I think we look good at it.
Good
against it at times.
Yeah.
We just haven't looked real good in games.
Yeah, so then let's talk about tonight. Obviously, a game to try and continue on. This is a team that you're going to see in the district, possibly you're going to play against in the district. So talk about, you know, what's kind of your game plan heading into tonight? What's kind of the number one key that you're preaching to your team?
Well, executing and not turning the ball over against the 2-2-1 that we're going to see tonight. That's number one. And then on the defensive end, contesting every shot and rebounding every miss. And then let's get out in transition.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, you know, two key things. We're starting to relax on offense, I think, better. You know, ball movement really isn't the issue when we get in the half-court set. You're right. The transition from, you know, the transition game into the half-court set seems like we just can't seem to really get situated with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think all those things are key points that we're going to try to address tonight, and just hopefully we execute better.
Well, Coach, we look forward to it, and I know you got some big ones coming up along the way, but winning one within your district, and that would be good for you. So thanks for stopping by, and we'll see you soon.
Sure, well, thank you.
Coach Todd Kames of the Tawas area Braves, he gets set to take on the Alcona Tigers tonight. Jeff Erickson will join me at the top of the hour, but let's get into kind of a final word here for you. And I'm going to finally wrap up, put a bow on things for what comes with the Michigan-Wisconsin thing that with Juwan Howard. Yeah, it could have been a fireable offense. I'm fine that he didn't get fired. I would have been fine if he did. I'm fine if he didn't. But then it's a situation from there that there needs to be a stiff penalty, and I'm glad that the University of Michigan has decided to suspend him the rest of the way, that it's not really the Big Ten, that it's Michigan who's stepping up saying you can't do this at our school. And we'll see how it affects the team going forward, because not having your coach around, we'll see if they rally around a couple of guys or if instead they end up kind of falling apart the rest of the year, because this has been a back-and-forth season for Michigan with some really good wins and some really bad losses. And not having Juwan Howard could be important, but also maybe kind of having, you know, someone who's a little bit more of a stabling force at that coach position isn't someone who it, as up and down as Juwan Howard is, because he is. He's up and down, and the team is up and down. And, you know, last year when he had really key players within the team, like Mike Smith and Shaundi Brown, who were transfers, but and Isaiah Livers, who, of course, was, you know, just a really, really big stabling force with them on the floor. This year doesn't really seem like they have that. They don't have that kind of stabling emotional force. Then, well, he's not it either. So it's going to be interesting to see how this team reacts the rest of the way. All right, coming up next, we'll get you onto our high school basketball coverage as you've been listening to Monday Night Lights, brought to you by Blue Bear Jewelry in East Tawas, but brought to you by Northeastern Window and Door, Harrisville, and Alpena, by Sunrise Family Credit Union of Bay City, Standish, and Essexville, by Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet on US 23 in East Tawas, and by Klaus Family Ace Harders with 15 locations serving. Thanks for Chad Meyer, who's going to be hanging out with us all day back at the radio station, as that was Monday Night Lights here on 104.7 WKJC, your power station for sports. High school basketball coverage next.